This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hour number two. It is Ben and Woods. We are in Peoria, Arizona, the annual spring training trip. Really one of the highlights of the year for us, and I hope the Tier 1s as well. Not just because you get the guests, but it really, for us, I think feels like the official start of baseball season. When we're sitting back at our studios, yeah, we know that they've reported to camp and, you know, the games are going on. But once we're out here, Woods, it definitely feels like baseball season is officially on for us again.
No question, man. This is my favorite week of the year, seeing all the guys and of course, talking to those two guys. I adore both of them, man, Crony and Joe. Like you said, man, salt of the earth, kind of heart of the team type guys, man. It's my favorite. I love it. This is where I become a little kid all over again.
I was so fascinated by, you know, the story of Joe really knowing all year that he was heading toward Tommy John surgery.
One
way or another, it was going to happen.
It really is.
He was
going
to squeeze every pitch out of that arm before he had to get the surgery done.
But, me too. Me too. I thought it was really, and then just kind of knowing that's coming and having to take the mound, knowing that that could happen at any time, is it takes a lot of guts. It really does.
All right, let's get our next guest sitting down with us. We're actually meeting him for the first time here, but it is a pleasure to welcome to Ben and Woods and 97.3 The Fan, Padres pitcher Kyle Hart is with us here. Kyle, Stephen Woods, Ben Higgins, Paul Reindel, our producer. It's good to have you on the show, and welcome to, well, Peoria and soon San Diego, hopefully.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Picked a good morning to come out and do the show. It's supposed to cool down next week, so probably be freezing our butts off out here.
Yeah, we've been through those out here many, many times. So how good is it? How good has it been so far to be back here in big league baseball and playing with the San Diego Padres?
Yeah, it's something that you don't take for granted. You know, this game will kind of take you everywhere, but any time that you're joining a big league camp, especially with a chance to make the team, it's a privilege, and especially a team of this caliber. I think that's kind of been the eye-opener for me, is just coming back and looking in this locker room at some of these veteran guys, some of the experience that we have, and the talent that we have on this roster. So, like I said, it's a privilege and an honor to be here and working my butt off every day to try to make this club.
So, Kyle, you made your big league debut in what year?
2020.
2020, so with the Red Sox during the pandemic season. And you got there. Obviously, that's an achievement of a lifelong dream for anybody who gets there. But, you know, didn't stick, and you made the decision a couple of years later to go to Korea. What was the thought process for you in deciding to pitch there rather than stick around in the minors and hoping to get called up again?
That's a good question. The answer, I've talked to a couple of people about this. The answer is relatively simple. Bounced around, kind of the Red Sox gave me a courtesy, you know, finish to my career, just let me kind of stick in AAA, and bounced around with Philly and up in Tacoma with Seattle, and then following the 2023 season, I didn't have any interest, minor league, MLB, any interest. So the only interest I had was in Korea and the KBO, and didn't really think too much about it. Just kind of checked with my family and make sure we could work out some of the logistics. And once I had their blessing, pretty easy decision for me. great financial opportunity for guys like me who hadn't made a lot of money up to that point. I'll be very frank about that. I think a lot of guys will be. So, obviously, it kind of a career-altering decision and something that I'm, like I said, I'm really proud of, and I don't think I'm going to take any opportunities for granted, you know, moving forward.
Well, not only did you go over there, you know, and you had to make a whole – it's a whole different culture. What's the game like? How different was the game when you got over there? I know at the end of the day you grab the ball, you got to throw strikes, you got to get guys out. I mean, it you can boil it down to my job is to get these dudes out, but it's a totally different culture, you know, totally different country. You don't speak the language, I would assume, and had to be a little bit of a shock to the system.
It is. I think my experience is similar to a lot of guys. I'm sure if you talk to a guy like Nick Martinez, yep, or someone like that, the baseball is high level. It's very serious. I mean, it is very serious. It's very hard to strike people out at times.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have the best stuff in the world, and some of these guys are going to find a way to put the bat on the ball. They might not hit it very hard. And then the other thing is, I feel like my growth happened learning how to manage innings. Those guys do a really good job. If they can get their leadoff on, or if they can work a walk or an HBP or an air, they know how to build an inning up. You're pitching in some really tough environments at times, especially on the road. It can get pretty rowdy, which I think was a big part of my development too. You know, in 2020, there wasn't a single person in the stands.
Yeah.
So
that's different.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't know if it quite compares to Petco, especially to, you know, during the playoffs. It probably can't compare, but some of those environments were really fun to pitch in and really a big deal for me. You know, I think that's something that is intriguing to the GMs and the front offices when you're looking at bringing pitchers back over. It's like, can they compete in those environments? And I felt good about what I did. But yeah, baseball is very serious. Extremely high level. They're doing all the training methods and everything that we're doing here in America is starting to come over there. So you're going to see, as we've seen, you're going to see more and more, you know, Asian-born national players coming over here. They're getting extremely talented. So
we're talking to new Padres pitcher Kyle Hart. He just said it's tough to strike out guys in Korea. You know, we're talking to the single-season KBO strikeout record holder. Struck out 182 batters, so essentially the Randy Johnson of Korea.
Pretty good, man.
Over there, which is obviously had a great season. You won the Choi Dong Won Award. That's like their Cy Young Award. What I heard you talk about, you added a couple of pitches. You know, what is changed, you know, when you went over there? Now that you're here, are you doing anything else? We think of Ruben Niebla as a bit of a kind of a miracle worker. When
yeah.
we see him, we like just kind of bow down because he's such a great guy and knows so much about pitching. So what's that kind of translating to here?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Ruben is fantastic. As soon as I started talking to him, even throughout, you know, kind of the free agent process, like I realized, you know, this guy is going to be really good for me, as he has been for many guys. I think at this point, Ruben has really pushed for me to just kind of be myself. I think he wants to get a baseline on what I'm able to do and see a few more outings, and then we're going to probably dive into some of the red tape, so to speak. I'm kind of probably annoying him because I'm bugging him like, hey, what do you got for me? What do you want me to work on all this? And I think he's just like, dude, do your thing.
Well, that sounds like that's a pretty good Ruben you just did, actually.
Like, do your thing. We'll get there. So, yeah, I'm just kind of falling into place. Obviously, extremely talented pitching staff that we have. I'm competing with some great guys trying to make this club. And I'm looking forward to what Ruben and Peter and Chris and Fritzy, a lot of these guys have for me going forward. It's like I'm just craving all the knowledge that they have. It's a fine line of doing what you did, you know, doing what you do that got you here, but also trying to develop and improve every day.
No question. And, you know, you're talking about some of the other guys on staff. You've got Yu Darvish, who's got 11 pitches, probably the ability to throw 14 or so. You got Michael King, who is just one of the nastiest. When things are firing for Michael King, he's top three in baseball, maybe even top one in baseball when it's all working for him. You know, you've got Joe Musgrove there as a guy that you can lean on as well. You got really good players. Have you been able to glean any knowledge from those guys?
Well, yeah, I want
to. You're the only lefty, though. That's the other thing. Is like there's very few lefties in there to talk to.
Well, I'm gonna add Dylan Cease.
Oh, of course, yeah, Dylan Cease's pretty good.
He's decent. So I actually went back and watched Dylan Cease's no-hitter last night. You know, just seventh inning, let me just finish this guy with 100 down and away. I didn't realize the plays that Xander made in that game. Those were awesome.
Incredible.
The tipped ball from Jackson.
My God.
I did not see that before. So to answer your question, I think I've said this before. Like, Schilte, Rubin, they're going to take the best pitchers that can help the Padres win games. So if it's 13 righties, obviously there's going to be some lefties out of that bullpen, but he's going to take the best guys. So I don't think, you know, just being left-handed is going to grant me extra leeway. I'm going to have to pitch really well in the next month. That's my goal. Obviously, just watching, you know, Stephen Kolek yesterday, he looked outstanding. Randy was in charge of all his stuff. Love watching Johnny Brito. Love watching Matt Waldron, obviously. So, like, it's not going to be handed to me. There's some guys that have had some success and look really good. But Yu Darvish, I would argue he throws 12 pitches, but I pretty much watch everything that guy does.
Sure. Are you a natural lefty, or are you one of those guys who was kind of at the could have gone either way and coached into being a lefty?
I'm not a natural lefty. No. I eat and write.
You're holding your mic with the right hand.
Yeah,
so I was wondering.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm a mixed bag.
That's interesting. I read a quote from you. You were talking about your debut, your first year, and you basically said it can't end like this for me. If that's the case, I'm just going to dig an effing hole and crawl into it. And I said, that's my guy. That's my guy right now. I saw some video of you chirping in the KBO, and I said, I love this guy, and I really hope you make the squad and come out and help us dominate next year because it's been so far so good. So what's the plan for you moving forward, getting some starts and getting some innings? What's the plan?
Yeah, I threw a sim game yesterday, kind of kicked the rust off. I was spraying the ball a little bit, but everything was kind of where I expect it to be from the pitching standpoint. I think Rubin has me throwing at least one more sim game on Sunday, and then I'm hoping next week to get into a game.
Yeah.
So it's that time.
The sim game is a little bit different. Crony was talking about being on the backfields taking, firm, hard BP, but he said it's different. You know, once you're out there in game situation, throwing to real hitters with different uniforms on.
Yeah, I think there's probably that extra 5%, maybe 10% of competitive juices, so to speak, that we get when we start seeing, you know, other guys. And the veterans will probably tell you that it can't even happen for them until March 27th comes. But 11 a.m. backfield games can be difficult, but at the same time, the work, the preparation, it's so critical for us moving forward this year, especially as pitchers. Like, we have to take every chance, every opportunity we get on that mound as serious as we can, because, you know, there's only so many days to work. We can't show up in the cage at 7 a.m. and take 500 swings, you know. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out there, getting into a game, and letting the real work kind of begin.
Crony said he faced you guys. You were at Indiana. He was at Michigan. He didn't really remember the matchup, but he said you guys were really good, and they weren't. So
get Schwarber on your squad. My God.
Yeah, we were more of an offensive team. Like, our pitching staff, our mantra was, like, just let's give up, like, anything less than 7 runs. And we got a chance.
How good was Schwarber in college with a metal bat?
There's a couple quick things. He was amazing. But he was a great catcher. Could call an unbelievable game. I'm sure he could still call a great game. He was really fast.
Wow.
Nobody understands that. He blew out his knee at the Diamondbacks. I don't remember what year. He blew out everything in his knee. But he was like a 6'8" runner. Huh. Led the conference in triples 1 year. Like, he was fast.
Jeez, dude.
How come he didn't play football?
No, he did.
Well, he had offers all over the place.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
God bless.
Well,
man.
Kyle, it is a pleasure to meet you again. Welcome to the Padres. Thanks for sitting down with us for a few minutes, and we'll be watching you closely the rest of spring training. Yeah. Not in a creepy way.
No.
Kind of in a creepy way.
Well, maybe a little bit.
I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kyle Hart, new Padres pitcher, and again, going to be on the backfields in the next couple of days, and we'll probably see him in a Cactus League game coming up pretty soon. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, you just showed me who was going to come on, and then I forgot. Tyler Wade, that's right. Tyler Wade.
First time ever.
We've never had him on.
We've never talked to him.
I feel like a million times off the air.
I've only talked to him once off the air.
Well, I've talked to him a couple times, but it'll be great to have Tyler Wade on. He's like everybody's favorite Padre somehow.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Literally, Everybody in that clubhouse loves Tyler Wade. We're going to talk to him when we come back after a check of traffic here. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
First day, first couple hours here at spring training, and we have already gotten a great mix of guests.
Yep.
We talked to Jay Cronenworth, Joe Musgrove, Kyle Hart just sat down with us.
He was great.
And now joining us here on the back patio at the Peoria Sports Complex is Tyler Wade.
First time ever.
I would say Padres infielder, Padres outfielder, Padres everything player joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Tyler, it's good to have you on the flagship station. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you guys. Thank you.
It's good to finally meet you. I met you a little bit at Fantasy Camp, and we were just talking off the air about how you were out here early. You're out here with the elite athletes that you saw out here at Fantasy Camp.
Oh, yeah.
Guys in the best shape of their lives.
I learned a thing or two.
You learned what not to turn into, I think. But, you know, you definitely see everybody was out here just eating it all up. But it was it was great to see you and Jackson were here. And like I said, we made a big deal about it because that's cool. You know, I think every fan is like, I want my guys there working and grinding.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you guys were absolutely here doing that. Do you go insane in the off season? You need to get back here?
Yeah, kind of like what we were saying off air, man. Like, I think once, like, January rolls around and you start getting that itch a little bit, and you start talking to the guys, getting group chats, like, start FaceTiming each other, and that's when things start to get rolling. And then, obviously, like, Jackson and I living out here, I was like, yo, let's just go to the complex, get some work in, and then slowly but surely, guys start trickling, and then just get things rolling.
Get to the complex, see some real good-looking swings, some real heat in the bullpen from the fantasy campers. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing when we're here and then these guys show up.
That's why I don't play.
I don't think that's embarrassing at all.
It's embarrassing.
I don't think so
You guys were doing speed drills while we were stretching, and I wanted to hide. I'm like, look how fast and lithe and built these dudes are, man. It's embarrassing.
Don't let us trick you.
All right. That's fair enough, man. So good to be back with the Padres. I know everyone's excited to have you back. This off season for you, obviously, the way that the last season ended was tough. We were talking to Joe about it. He said he had just gotten surgery that day, and he's watching that game five. He goes, "This is the worst day ever for you guys." How long did it take you to kind of move past?
Man, that's a good question. Maybe a month, man. It was even tough to watch the playoffs, man.
Sure.
Yeah, that hurt, man, you know, just because we believed in ourselves and we thought we were the best team and we had a really good squad, man. But, you know, we use that as motivation. I think that's why, like, what you were talking about, like, guys coming in early and we're hungry, you know. So we're kind of using that fuel for 2025.
Tyler, I want to go back and talk about your road to the big leagues.
Yeah.
How you got here. You grew up Murrieta, Ricky Fowler country, as I like to call that.
Yeah.
And you were actually one of the last recruiting classes for Tony Gwynn at San Diego State,
yes,
correct? But you decided to go the pro route, and when you're drafted, you signed with the Yankees. How tough of a decision was that, and, you know, the process of being recruited by Tony at San Diego State?
Yeah, that was kind of surreal for me, you know, growing up. You know, I was a Yankee fan, but going to Padre games and obviously knowing who Tony was. And I think it was my sophomore year, going into my sophomore year, you know, San Diego State reached out. And then they're like, yeah, come out for your unofficial visit. And Tony's talking to me. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm talking to Tony Gwynn. He's like, you want to come here? And I was like, look at my parents. I was like, I can't say no to Tony Gwynn.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that process for me as a 15, 16-year-old kid was pretty special. And then once kind of my senior year rolled around, I didn't think I ever in my back of my mind was ever going to get drafted, right? And then, you know, scouts started coming around, and then I was like, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, like, I hate saying this, but I was going to school to play baseball, you know what I mean? I'm sorry to say it, but that's what I was doing, right? Like,
your career in neuroscience was on hold? So.
Being an anesthesiologist, that was on hold, yeah. But I told my parents, I was like, this is anything I've ever dreamed of, and if the opportunity is there and it feels right, like, let's do it. And then
it's the Yankees too. I mean the Yankees draft you
fourth round.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I couldn't say no.
You couldn't say no, man.
And you know, got out as planned, man, and it worked out for the best.
And then you were with the Yankees for a while. They traded you to the Angels.
And then traded right back.
And then you got traded right back. What was the story there? You were there for like half a season and they traded you right back to the Yankees.
I wish I knew the full story.
it's a weird business.
Yeah, dude, it was funny. I don't think I've ever told this story, but I was on a bachelor trip. And I woke up to Cashman calling me at like 7 in the morning. I'm like,
I'm dead.
Yeah. I was like,
I'm dead.
I was dead, and then I was like, I'm even more dead.
What did he know? What did he see from last night?
But then he's like, hey, man, like, we're trading you to Anaheim, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, I was kind of, like, shocked, because I was like, I didn't expect that.
Sure.
And then I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm going to California. Yeah. Cool. Like, right. And then, you know, it was all right. And then July comes around, and they're like, I'm in the dugout, and they're like, hey, you're getting traded back to the Yankees. I said, ha, that's funny, huh? And they're like, no, you got to go. And I was like, oh,
no
this
way.
This is real. And then literally same thing. I'm walking in the clubhouse, and my phone's ringing. It's Cash. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. But, yeah, man, I mean, I love that organization, man. I was there for 9 years, almost 10 years, and that's family to me. I still got some of my best friends over there.
Sure.
And they took a chance on me, man, like as a young kid. And I was like 150 pounds out of high school, man. I don't know what they saw, but I appreciate Cash and Hal and all those guys, man. So, yeah, they're good people.
That's awesome. We're joined by Tyler Wade here. Now you're with the San Diego Padres, and you've ingratiated yourself to this organization as well. You do a lot of things for the team. It takes a special kind of player. Baseball is full. You have to have an ego to play this game. You cannot play this game without thinking you're –
The best.
Yeah. And for you, where, you know, Shilty may come to you one day and say, hey, I mean, you may not play for a week.
Yeah.
You know, how hard is that? And what's it like for you being the guy that can play anywhere and sometimes has to?
Well, first off, like, Shilty, to me, I what you guys saw last year was a byproduct of Shilty, one, instilling confidence in me and just letting me play free, right? I said this the other day. I don't know who I said it to, but everyone's like, oh, when you're in AAA, you rake, man. Like, they're like, why? I was like, because I play free, man. Like, I don't feel like I need to be anybody else, you know?
You feel different in the bigs? Like, you need to be somebody different?
Yeah. Prior teams, like New York, Anaheim, you know, they wanted me to be somebody I wasn't. And I come here, and Shilty's like, be Tyler Wade. Like, that person's plenty good enough. And
that's awesome.
The moment he said that to me, man, it just clicked. I was like, perfect. I can just be me. I don't need to do anything else, man. And just the communication aspect of what he does and the leadership values that he brings to this team, it makes me feel at home, man. And I've said to people, I've been here for a year now, and this place feels like home, and it feels like family to me, man. Like, it feels like I've been here for 8 years, which is crazy.
We're talking to Tyler Wade. So with that in mind, Woods is the people person of the two of us. He's gregarious. He's outgoing. I'm more of the introvert. You have definitely, you're a people person in there. I've seen you interacting with your teammates. What is it, do you think? I mean, do you do that? Is that conscious? Is that just who you kind of are? But
Human beings. We're just human beings.
But I mean, the other people. The other big leaguers, they gravitate toward him.
Sure.
in that clubhouse. I saw it. Even after that game five, I was in that Dodger clubhouse. And as sad as it was, they were kind of gravitating toward him. And I was just kind of, I was fascinated by that. And just, is that something that you cultivate, or is just natural?
That's just me being me, man. It's organic. And Shilty's head's getting big if he listens to this, but it's a byproduct of him, man. Like, I'm able just to be me. I feel like I can be myself. I've always been that way, right? Other clubhouses, I've had to suppress that, and, like, I think that, like, doesn't allow me to be myself on the field as well, you know? Like, but, like, even Manny, Toddy, Jake, the leaders, Joe, in this clubhouse, they, from day one last year, they made me feel like I was at home, and I was able to be myself. And I do think I'm a leader, but I don't think I'm a vocal guy. I just, you know, just go about my business, and it's like what you said, man. I'm just able to be myself unapologetically, and it's been great, man. And it's good to be around these guys. And
oh, speak of the devil, look who's here.
But yeah, exactly. What's up, baby?
Morning. How you doing, buddy?
See you. But yeah, man, it's special, like having guys like him, man. It's being able to learn from him, and you know, just let me be myself, you know what I mean? I think it takes a lot of weight off his shoulders and
sure,
whoever it else is.
Yeah, no doubt. Tyler Wade joins us this morning. So, all right, so where if you could pencil yourself in the lineup every day, where do you want to play? What's your feet? What, four or five positions already with the team?
It's a loaded question.
It's very loaded.
That's a loaded question.
It's very loaded. That's what I do. You can say it.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Man,
political answer.
I grew up playing short,
okay.
So I'll give you that.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, my seven-year-old wants fly balls now in the outfield because of Jackson Merrill, and Jackson told him, stay in the infield. So
the guy said it way too hard. Go to the outfield. But, man, yeah, anywhere, man. Like, I've been doing it for so long now, and it's all second nature to me, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I love
anywhere,
it.
Really.
Even left field?
Anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere.
I don't know what year. You got to fact check me on this, but I think 2019 or 21, I played more games in the outfield than I did in the infield. So
it's crazy.
It just depends, man. Like, it's just, I know, I think the biggest thing for me to embrace is I realized who I was as a player and what I bring to a team. So it's just like, could really care less around that, man.
Yeah, like, just as long as you're in there, right? Just want to be
man.
In there.
Whether it's the seventh inning or first inning, I can care less, man.
That's like, awesome.
That's what I love.
Tyler, it's great to sit down with you. Thank you for spending some time and showing us, showing me at least, how to interact with, you know, human beings.
Right.
Exactly. Hey, I'm introverted, man. Believe it or not, man. Like, when I'm at home, I don't talk. I just chill.
Doubt it. Very much.
Tyler Thanks, Wade, Tyler. We're going to take a quick timeout. Mike Schilt, the guy you were just talking about, is actually going to join us.
Put in a good
He makes
word.
Us a little nervous.
He I'm does. He's, to be, he's, I,
he makes me nervous.
He's okay, intense. So, yeah.
We love him, though. We love him.
Next we love him. But, yeah, he makes us a little nervous. But he's going to sit down with us in our next segment. So you don't want to miss that. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is there to help. They're recruiting professionals utilizing award-winning AI to conduct business with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. We've been off to a rip-roaring start here at Padres Spring Training in Peoria. I haven't even had a chance to mention, though, what's going on back in San Diego. They're getting ready for the first SDFC game at home on Saturday, and we're actually going to have some tickets to give away to the home opener at Snapdragon Stadium on Saturday, coming up later in the program after the win over LA Galaxy. I know a lot of people are excited and making plans to go down for the game on Saturday night, so you have a chance to win some tickets from us coming up later in the show. And I believe on all the shows today, have tickets to give away.
Everybody's
Paulie confirms that. So be listening all day for your chance to win. Anders Dreyer was named the essentially player of the week in MLS, the man of the match day, they called it.
I like that.
First ever game, franchise history, and you're already 1-for-1 on players of the week.
Man of the match sounds way better than player of the week.
Man of the match day, for his two goals and the win over LA Galaxy.
I'd say that's a pretty good start to his career.
And, of course, huge win last night for the San Diego State Aztecs at home over New Mexico. Obviously, I was watching here. You were almost watching. You just needed to stay up another 2 hours and you could have gotten to tip-off. But Vias Arena sounded pretty electric last night. I mean, you could even tell through the television that the Aztecs fans, the show, really came to play. And I talked about that yesterday. They're going to need it. With Magungwath out, the home court advantage probably more important in that game last night than any game they've played all season. And I thought the fans made a real difference. It was such a good performance. You know, when you have a star out, you need a balanced scoring attack, and they really did. They got contributions from Nick Boyd, Miles Byrd, Miles Heide, Jared Coleman-Jones, Farrell Compton off the bench. It was really balanced. They had different options the whole game long, and New Mexico's a really good team, and Donovan Dent's definitely, in my mind, the best player in that conference, but Dutch and his coaching staff came up with a phenomenal game plan last night, Woods. They knew Donovan Dent. They said, all right, we're going to accept some damage. And he scored 26 points. He's really, really good.
Let him get his.
Yeah, they pretty much, you know, put B.J. Davis on him for the part. You know, they tried to switch their screens. But they knew he was going to get some. They made sure, though, that the big guy, Nelly Jr. Joseph, didn't get his. They fronted him. They used Jared Coleman-Jones and Miles Heide on him. And they kept him to 6 points. The guy's a double-double machine. Had like 16 or 17 rebounds anyway. But kept him really out of the score sheet for most of the game. And I thought that was... that was the difference that allowed San Diego State to get that huge, much-needed win that really keeps them on the right side of the bubble, maybe even pushes them into a slightly safer territory for the NCAA tournament, depending on what happens in their last three regular season games.
Who are those opponents again?
They've got at Wyoming, not a good team, but it's 7,000 feet of altitude on Saturday.
All right.
Then they've got the at UNLV game, the team that beat them at Viejas Arena. I like that aspect of the revenge game for the Aztecs against UNLV. And then home against Nevada, a team they handled pretty well on the road earlier this season. If they win all three of those,
they're in.
I think that they should be comfortably in the NCAA tournament no matter what happens
yesterday
in the Mountain West tournament.
Massive step for
that's why. If they had lost that one, the path to the NCAA tournament was really dicey and probably involved winning the Mountain West tournament. Now there's a number of paths available that get San Diego State into March Madness. Hopefully, you know, when Magungwath's going to be able to return. But I think the Aztecs will even be better for this time now without him when he comes back they'll have more ways to beat teams, you know, just based on this time that they're playing without their big guy.
Well, I crashed pretty hard last night, and I woke up, and the first tweet I saw before I went to ESPN to check the score was yours, saying something to the effect of, Woods has been asleep for about 4 hours. Maybe I should get some rest now. And I knew by the tone, before I checked the score, I knew by the tone. Oh, Aztecs won.
Yeah, I was a little wired from the exciting win. I mean, it was in doubt until the last couple of minutes, so I was nervous pretty much watching the whole way through. But
what time did you go to sleep? Midnight?
I think I looked. Last time I saw my clock was about 11:50.
You're a cyborg. Good God. How's your room,
now, that's 10:50 Pacific.
Yeah.
It's a little bare bones.
Mine is too.
Mine's more of a converted. I will say this. We've had some horror stories on vacation rentals and hotels here in Arizona for our various excursions out here. No horror stories.
This is
on
the nicest
one.
House we've stayed at.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, actually, the hardest.
Thank you, Adam.
The hardest part for me is that the backyard is right. It's right on a golf course, on a lake. There's a water hazard,
it's
and then the green.
You.
And all I want to do is pull out my clubs and start like hitting shots. I'm about a 9-iron from the green. I could practice if I wanted.
Yeah, it's pretty good. There's a thing that happens at Airbnbs though now that we've noticed the last few is they all have the remote control for the lights and the fan.
It's like a smart fan remote combo.
But you can't just I woke up this morning, I went to just turn the light on. But I couldn't because you have to have the remote. Mm. But I couldn't find the remote because it was pitch black. And instead of just being able to click the light on, you have to find this remote, hit the right button at the same time.
The right switch.
The
has
right
to be
switch
on
has to be
for
on.
The room to like trigger it. It's
I don't really know the ins and outs of it, you know. But no, it's a nice place. I had a lot of people asking yesterday. We always do, you know, Ben and Woods Cribs.
Oh, it's coming.
But you can't rush greatness, you know. And yesterday after that trip. We needed a little bit of a breather.
I don't have a TV in my room. So
I don't either.
I watched on my phone.
Did you see the picture I tweeted of my room? It looks like a meth den. I mean, it literally is just bare bones, white walls, and a mirrored.
It's funny. It's not overly decorated, but like every single vacation rental we've ever stayed at, they have that little wooden block TikTok toe board.
Everywhere.
I don't know. Does that come with when you like sign up for vacation rentals that they send you?
It's an Airbnb shop.
TikTok toe board.
It's a store. You buy stuff for your Airbnb. And there's the in cursive.
So families are going to sit around playing TikTok toe all night?
It says home on it. Every single one has it's white with black lettering and it says home on it. And it's been every Airbnb in my experience that I've ever stayed in. They all have the tic-tac-toe. But no, it's actually a really, really nice place. It's really good.
Yeah.
And I think we'll may bust a live stream out while we're here. Going to have some fun. But what a great morning so far. What a great morning.
Our next scheduled guest, and we'll be out momentarily, is expected to be the skipper, Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres. So. I know he's a busy man, but he's carved out
about 10
minutes for us here before the top of the hour to chat and check in. Now, he's been here for a few weeks now.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably his third week here at spring training in Peoria. I always feel like we're just kind of now coming in the middle of everybody's work.
I feel the same way, too. It's a lot of Chipotle in 3 weeks, man.
That's a good point.
That's a lot of Chipotle. Do you think when he walks in, they have his standard order ready?
Ooh. No, I think he probably sits.
You think he mixes it up?
I think he orders the same thing, but he likes to go through the line.
Through the line, okay.
Yeah.
They don't just have it ready
specific
for him.
And, you know, can I get a little more of the
green sauce? Yeah, more chicken. All right, fair
Something
enough.
Like
what
that,
time is he supposed to be out?
Any minute
Any second now.
Now.
So we're vamping.
Yeah, exactly. We're at the point of, I mean, I could start talking more basketball. I watched the Lakers game last night.
I was waiting.
Well.
I was just going to give you the go ahead.
I was worried to get started if Mike Schilt walked out, but
Paulie and I this morning,
he didn't even remember.
We had talked about it when Luka got traded. We're like, oh well, look at the calendar here. In a couple of weeks, going to be taking on the Mavs, and I was like, that's must see TV. But there was no way I was watching anything last night.
Yeah, he had a really strong game against his former team. Triple double: 19 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists. It was not a blowout, though. It looked like it might be early, but the Mavs, you know, hung in there with Anthony Davis. It's so weird just seeing him sitting on the bench, you know, wearing his fur coat and not on the Lakers anymore.
That was a Lakers home game?
It was a Lakers home game. The fans, hey, this is almost kind of mean. Luka got fouled, was at the free throw line. They started chanting, "Thank you, Nico."
Because Nico was there.
To the Dallas Mavericks general manager, which that can't have felt great knowing that the other team is thanking you for making what most people in basketball think was an insane trade.
Yeah, maybe the worst trade of all time.
The Mavs still look decent. Kyrie scored 35 points. Wow. LeBron had 27 and 12. Lakers have been hot lately, though. They get another win, 107-99 last night. And they've kind of solidified themselves in the upper now half of the playoff picture in the Western Conference. And a lot of people are now thinking could be championship contenders. I don't know if it's going to come together that quickly for LeBron and Luka. They seem like they're already kind of on the same page, but they may be missing a piece or two ultimately. But they beat Denver over the weekend.
The talk of everybody over at Camelback Ranch where the Dodgers are, Ben, to be honest with you.
That's probably
they're
true
probably
as well,
very
which is
excited.
Where the Padres are headed later today.
Yep.
Because they're going to be playing the White Sox at that same facility
yep.
in their spring training game this afternoon. So, all right, let's check traffic. We'll get you an update on Mike Schilt, or maybe
they
you just got one.
They are still in the coaches meeting right now.
They're still in the coaches meeting. All right, well, then we're probably going to have to push it back, but we'll give you an update after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Yesterday, the Padres played here in Peoria. We arrived, I think, about 20-30 minutes after the game ended, actually. I saw the fans were leaving the parking lot when I got here to pick up our credentials. They faced the Angels and ended up losing the game 2-1. So pitching was definitely the star of the show yesterday, including solid two innings from Steven Kolek, who is competing for a spot in the starting rotation as one of those many options for the fifth starter's job. But I think what was impressive yesterday was just the strike throwing. He had 25 pitches in two innings, gave up a couple of hits, but 20 of them were strikes. So he was filling up the zone.
Fill it up!
As they like to say.
Yep.
I think we probably haven't given him enough perhaps attention as a legitimate candidate for that fifth spot, but I do think the Padres are looking at him for that role.
You know, and there's that kind of mark on a guy, Ben, that's a Rule 5 guy, right? Like, there's just kind of that, and it's unfair. I think a lot of fans do it, and I know I've done it before, too, is like, oh, boy, you know, the Rule 5 guy. But he's not a Rule 5 guy anymore, right? Like, he's San Diego Padre, and he's vying for a spot in the rotation. Or, you know, again, this is a numbers game at spring training. The more guys that you can find can take the mound and get outs at the big league level, the better off your team is going to be. Whether he slots into the five, whether he is a long relief type guy, whether they have an entirely different role for him in mind down the road. He throws strikes, got some whiffs yesterday, was seeing some notes on Twitter, and our buddy Clark sent me some notes, too, about, you know, he has kind of ditched the slider, gone back to the sweeper, where he's had some success with it. So it's good to see, man. You want to keep stacking appearances like that from a guy like Kolek.
Yeah, last year you could fairly say he's only on the team because he's a Rule 5.
Correct. Correct.
You know, they would lose him if they tried to put him in AAA, so he has to be there. Doesn't necessarily feel like you earn your spot. This year, they can option him. They have
100%.
Those rights again, so he has to earn that spot. But he's looking like someone who could earn a spot on the roster. And now remember, the reason that A.J. Preller plucked him from the Mariners in the Rule 5 draft is he thought he had some talent.
Like, correct.
He was so convinced that this was a guy that could help the Padres that he was willing to basically tie up one of his valuable 26
yeah.
roster spots last year on Steven Kolek. Think how highly AJ must think of a player to make that commitment for a whole season,
no doubt,
on a roster spot for a guy that he knows is not going to be at his, you know, not ready to contribute that year. That's how highly he thought of Steven Kolek.
And again, this isn't the mid 2010s Padres, right? Like, you last year, you were going into last season expecting to compete and expecting to make the playoffs, and of course they certainly did. But yeah, I mean, using up a spot like that for a guy, there's clearly something that AJ sees in him, clearly something that Ruben likes about him as well. And yeah, had a good outing yesterday. I think that the guy we have to talk about, though, and it's a guy that we're going to be talking about for hopefully many years to come, Ben, and that's Leo Dallas DeBreeze yesterday. Just continues to show why he's going to be one of the best prospects in baseball at the end of the year. There's just no question about it. 0-2 in his AB, battles it back to 3-2, then hits 96 on the outer outside corner, hits it the other way, 384 feet for a double. Bat speed is through the roof. He's the real deal. He is the real deal.
You shouldn't be able to do that when you're
barely 18 years
it's
old.
It's just insane. So I am so excited to watch him this week, check him out on the backfields or wherever he may be playing. It's pretty special.
Also, the Padres got scoreless innings from Adrian Morejon, Yuki Matsui, and Omar Cruz, who's opened a lot of eyes as well this camp. He's got a really good changeup that people have been really raving about here in Peoria from Omar Cruz, who's one of the pitching prospects that's here. And it's changed kind of the discussion. If you talk to people in the organization, they actually feel the pitching depth is now pretty strong.
Correct.
For the Padres. We were wondering, like, wow, they have no depth. You know, 3 weeks ago we were going, this pitching staff has no depth at all. What are they going to do? Now you look at it, and it's actually being viewed as potentially a strength in this organization. If they needed to go 10, 11, 12 starters deep, as most teams do.
Yeah.
Potter's only used 8 last year. That's a rarity.
That's very
rare. Most teams
rare.
Need to get up to 10, 11, 12 over the course. So maybe a couple of them only make 1 or 2 starts, spot starts. But the Padres now seem to have that between Randy Vasquez, Matt Waldron, Johnny Brito, Kyle Hart, who we talked to earlier today, some of the young guys like Omar Cruz, Stephen Kolek. These guys are all, you know, potential options. They may not make 30 starts, but, you know, a bunch of them may make 5, 7, you know, that could help them at some point over the course of this season.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, it's great. Like I said, man, you got to stack as many of these guys as you can to help you get outs when you need it throughout the course of a season, because you just never know what's going to happen, man. If guys are going to go down or if a guy's ineffective, you know, there needs to be someone there that's able to jump in and get outs at that level. So I think everybody's really high on it. We'll ask Chilty when he joins us here pretty soon kind of how he feels about the state of the pitching staff.
Yeah, offensively, obviously didn't do much. You mentioned DeVries. He scored the only run. Outside of that, Manny had another double, I think, but there wasn't a ton of offense in the game yesterday.
Well, let's go. Oh, can we? Do we have to?
What do you want
to
do
this?
Here? We've got. Can we? We're right at the top of the hour, so we're going to figure this out.
Just texting our PR
Skips.
Friends.
Yeah,
let's just we'll roll with it right now.
We're going to roll with it. All right. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You. What do you want?
Yeah.
No. We do lunch.
Oh, yeah. You would be surprised at how much consternation the three of us go through going, should we take him to dinner again? I mean, we had fun, we enjoyed it, but we don't want to impose on him. I mean, he's a busy guy. We probably spent like 3 hours talking about whether we should do dinner again with Mike Schilt or not. I mean, you just walk right up and
he's like, what happened? All right, put him on. Is
all right,
my con?
Right, you're good on, to go.
You're
on live.
Right, you're
just
we're
on live. We're going live.
We're ready. Yeah,
yeah,
we're live
just
now.
Just do this here right now. You're here. Why not?
Beautiful Peoria.
Why not sit down? We've already gotten to talk to some of your players. You have such a good group here. We met Kyle Hart for the first time. Great. And Tyler Wade finally on the show. He's fantastic. He raved
great.
About you a lot. Felt like you allow him to be Tyler Wade in that clubhouse. And I see how those guys gravitate toward him. You know, he's not a star player. You know, he's a kind of a glue guy. But everyone seems to, like, you know, go right around Tyler Wade. And he said, I couldn't do that with the Yankees. I kind of felt like I couldn't be myself. But he said, Schulte, he lets me be myself in that clubhouse.
Yeah, the thing about it is, Wade, he's a phenomenal guy, to your point, to start. I mean, we just talked in a little bit of a – not a little bit. We did a review of our camp to this point for our big league staff, and everybody feels like it's going really well. But one of the things that stands out and that our staff's very grateful for is just how good of human beings that we have in our clubhouse. We have some really, really good dudes, you know, that really appreciate each other, love each other, respect each other, but are also very intentional about playing well and are very dedicated to greatness. And so you know, the point about the identity piece, you know, the one thing for my chair is how miserable is it if you can't be yourself?
It's not great. I've done that. I've had a part of my career where I was like that, and it was actually when we started, and I didn't know anything about doing sports radio, so I tried to be Ben. And once I decided that I can't be Ben and I just need to be me, it kind of all opened up. And I think I really connected with Tyler when he talked about that, because you have to be able to do you. But what is life if you can't be yourself?
It really is, you know, and the whole comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
I've been in a lot of those situations,
sure.
And some of it, or a good portion of it, I put on myself.
Yep.
You know, to try to be somebody that the world's trying me to be, or I think somebody should be. And yeah, there's some conformity that needs to take place when you're on a team,
right,
in a team setting. But ultimately, you know, we talk a lot about be yourself in a team setting, and don't try to conform to somebody or who you're not. And it's very freeing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. We're joined by the skipper, Mike Schild, here on Ben and Woods. And, you know, it, with every camp, there are new challenges. You had a little bit of a flu bug going around in this one. And
we have.
You got to, you know, keep guys away. How's everybody feeling, first of all? I saw Fernando walk in, and I saw Campy walk in, and I know they've been hit pretty hard by it, but I at least saw them here, and are they feeling better? What's the kind of the plan for those guys?
It's, knock on wood, the first day. Now, I can walk out, you know. I love our training staff.
Yeah.
I do. They're fantastic.
You don't want to see them coming, though.
I do not want to see them coming. When you're sitting at your office or you're on the field and you see a trainer walk towards you, you go, oh, man.
This ain't good.
So anyway, I reserved the right for that to happen here shortly, but it will be the first day in over 10 days where I feel like we're going to have all the camp here that has not alluded to any flu or any sickness. But looks like it's getting behind us, knock on wood, and, you know, here we go.
So we were just talking before you sat down how sometimes, well, all the time, outside perception, we don't really know what's going on all the way through the organization. About 3 weeks ago, we were talking about, wow, where's the pitching depth on this team going to come from? I mean, where do they have enough starters to even start the season? Now, I look at camp, and I've seen a lot of arms here, a lot of arms, not just competing for that fifth starter's job, but, you know, depth throughout the season. What have you seen kind of from some of the guys who've been in the Cactus League games that are battling for that fifth spot, but probably you're going to need 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe more to make starts throughout the year?
Yeah, you know, starting point relative to the pitching concern, it's interesting because I can understand it peripherally. What I'm about to say may shock people. I think about the roster, like how to use the roster. But with AJ as our general manager, I don't think about, yeah, we would like to have X or Y. But I know he's always got a plan for what X and Y looks like for the parameters he has for the club. Now, specific to the depth, I've been really, really pleased with having the opportunity to see some young people yet. You hear about them. You read about them in reports. But when it comes to life, you know, no particular order, and I'm probably going to leave somebody out. But, you know, Bradley Rodriguez, whoa.
Wow.
I mean, yesterday that was elite stuff, you know, with quality strikes, because those two need to be married, those strikes and stuff. You know, you look at Pena throwing the ball extremely well. Net has come in, big arm, multiple pitches. You know, exciting guy with has weapons for righties and lefties. It looks like he could stay in a starting role and still develop and see where it takes him. So that's all been very positive. This Nunez kid, Eduardo Nunez, that, you know, free agent sign that we picked up, is a nice arm. He's the first free agent that was signed in all of the offseason. And understandably, he's throwing 9,800 with life, you know, a little more seasoning, but the arm's there. You know, and then you look at the more recent signings, obviously Pivetta, you know, we're looking forward to seeing Nick in competition, but he's fitting in really well with the group. You know, Kyle Hart done a nice job, coming in, and, you know, again, that guy that's dominated last year in the KBO and adds some depth. And, you know, Wes Ferguson, we just added a lefty that we'll see what Wes brings to the table. But, and of course the guys we have, you know, the Waldron and Brito and Vasquez and that group.
Before you ask your next question, I got to do some radio business here. We got to pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Ben and Woods live from Padres Spring Training.
I wanted to ask you about competition.
Pause. You got to pause.
Oh, I got to pause?
Yeah, for 10 seconds.
All right,
10 seconds is up.
It's
you may
up.
Speak again.
All right, thank you very much. Schild, wanted to ask you about, we had some fun with this earlier in the week. We were talking about, you hear it a lot in every camp. Oh, there's a lot of competition for left field, right? And you bring in 4, 5, 6, 7 guys, whatever. What does a competition look like from the manager standpoint, right? Because, you know, in a black and white world, it's, all right, we have 5 guys. They're all competing for a left field job. You hit 470 with 3 home runs and 12 RBI, and you're you're looking good out in the field, you win the job. It doesn't always work that way. So from your perspective, what is it that a skipper looks for, you know, to maybe fill a spot, which, again, we talked to you about Jerickson Profar and the loss of him. How do you recreate a Jerickson Profar with the guys that you have now?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, broad answer to your question is, you know, you the numbers don't lie necessarily. You do pay attention to them,
sure,
but you don't get married to them, you know, in the sense of that, you know, look, let's see how what kind of quality of bats they're having. You know, we win in a lot of different ways. We win with the numbers, but we win in the you know, moments that take place in the clubhouse, moments that take place. You mentioned Tyler Wade earlier.
Yep.
Tyler Wade's a winning player. You know, how do you define that? It's hard to qualify.
Sure.
But he helps you win games. That's all you know. And he does that by lifting others up. He does it by seeing the game. He does it by his energy. All those are variables that, you know, clearly he's got ability. You know, if he didn't have the ability, you know, you could be on the club.
He'd be at fantasy camp with me. Exactly.
Yeah, he could be on the team with some of these attributes that I'm sure you have. But and so it's a mixture.
I take that as a compliment, actually. Yes.
A huge compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, your ability's clearly there, and how you fit with the group and how to put the team together. That's the other part about it. What do you know? What's the team need, and what's this guy going to bring?
Yeah.
So it's not absolutely in a vacuum.
Mike, how are the ABS challenges, the automated ball strike system, going from your perspective? I've seen other managers. I think Terry Francona said, we're not doing it. They're not going to do it this year, so they're not going to worry about it. What's been your observations, though, seeing it in play in some of these Cactus League games?
It's been interesting. I'm still getting my head around it. You know, it's different. Different doesn't mean good or bad, just different. We're not spending a lot of time on it. We had a brief explanation of just how it works to our guys. We owed that to them, but we've not put any feedback loop towards it, which we typically do with everything, because it's not going to come into play. There are some notes off to the side that'll be archived, because let's don't kid ourselves, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming. But, you know, we're getting ready for a championship 2025 season, and we're not going to spend a lot of time, energy, thinking and working on something that's not going to be in play.
Next spring training, though, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The notes are there, and getting a feel for it and thinking about, you know, the thing that's interesting to me, at least, is how it has to be done. I understand the immediacy of it, but they're potentially doing the future. There's a real strategy of when to use it, and
yeah,
educate the players to when to maybe think about using it from a big picture game perspective. You know, I thought Modern Auto did a good job with it yesterday. Used it at an appropriate time, you know, to you know, try to prevent a leadoff walk.
You know, we'll see, obviously, how the team looks when you guys break camp, and who's on the roster and who's in the fifth spot and who's catching, who's playing left field. But for you, Schulte, and I know, you know, we talked about this too, you know, your team's traditionally there's a build, and that's a good thing, right? You want to be playing your best baseball when it really matters the most. Do you feel any extra pressure to get off to maybe a hotter start this year than maybe you did last year? Or does that not change?
I you know, listen, it's interesting. One thing we talk about, I believe in sincerely, is, you know, better as the game goes, series goes, season goes.
Yep. You've said that like a mantra since you got here.
Yeah, it's important. It's served me well.
Yeah.
And teams I've been a part of well. That being said, clearly you want to get off to a good start. I also come from a mindset of, like, that April game is just as important as that June game, as important as that September game, and clearly the October games are important. And, yes, we definitely want to get off to a good start. I can tell you that, you know, last year there was a lot of variables that came into play. I don't need to really, unless you want to know them, list them necessarily. The big points is, you know, because they can be perceived as excuses, and
sure,
I'm not in the excuse business. I'm in the solution business. But now, you know, we've been together a year. There's clarity what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it. We've got a, you know, more traditional spring training. But we expect to be able to perform and compete March 27th and onward.
And with that traditional spring training, there's more games, which means more time to watch some younger players like Ethan Salas and Leodalis DeVries, who've gotten into a few of these games. And Do you have to stop yourself sometimes and remind yourself they're just 18 years old?
You do, I mean, don't you?
Ethan's so mature. I mean, I listen to him even talking, and he sounds like he's been a veteran forever. And then, I mean, the ball off the bat of DeVries yesterday. No 18-year-old should be able to do that off a, you know, even a, anyone in a major league camp at this point seems crazy. What's your impressions of those two young men so far?
Yeah, multiple things to this question. It's a good one. The future's bright with those two guys, and really pivotal, as you we all know, catcher, shortstop positions. You know, unpacking them, I first of all appreciate their ability, to your point. You know, special players. You know, you look back in time at guys that, I mean, I talked to Manny the other day, broke in at 20. Jackson, 20. You start to look at guys that have long-term successful players, they break in at a young age, you know. So, and I never really get too caught up, but it is impressive that they're 18. But their ability's clear. The way they go about it has been really impressive. You know, there is some growth, as you would expect, it needs to continue to take place, but that's why we're here, helping them understand, you know, the real spread of this. I mean, they have big league talent. It's now continuing to help them have a big league mindset. One of the things that's been a challenge for guys with that kind of talent that have a chance to be on a physical trajectory to a big league, especially a clubhouse that expects to win, is the spread of what they need to understand emotionally or mentally. And so, you know, that's important, that they start to pick up some of these nuances, because they're coming quickly. And if they don't get them between now and then, that's the intentionality to really their development, that to the question earlier a little bit about, you know, yeah, performance is important, but it's the nuanced things that help you win games.
Well, Micah, we appreciate you sitting down and spending some time with us. We'll have our agent contact your agent about setting up a dinner.
Well, I mean, I don't have an agent. And I know, you know, high-profile radio guys like yourselves.
I'm actually embarrassed that I have one. And
are well-represented on the agents factor.
How'd you get a contract extension without an agent?
He did it himself.
I'm more of a public course player. You know, I carry my own bag. You know, drove a 2006 Tundra for, you know, almost 15 years.
Did you upgrade that this offseason?
No.
The new deal?
No,
no,
did not.
No, all right.
Nope, I upgraded it, and still now I have a, you know, 2021 Jeep.
All right.
There you go.
That I'll probably have for
another
15
years. He's a man of the people.
Years. I try to be.
Yeah,
But, hey, I deal with agents a fair amount, and I'll be happy to talk to your agent and negotiate with him. But look, you guys are amazing, and appreciate your support for our club.
Thank you, Chef.
Right, good luck against the White Sox today. I know you've dropped a couple here lately. Fans are starting to get restless back home. So
better
come back for the win.
Save it. You can absolutely save it right now.
I need you to fire those guys up today. Right?
Yeah, why don't you go in and you get them going? Yeah.
Mike Schilt, the manager of the San Diego Padres, he is truly a delight, especially here at spring training. Love talking to him. We're going to take a timeout, a little overdue. We'll reset for the second half of Ben and Woods when we come back here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.